No one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter 3. We preached along the lines of the anointing on Sunday night. And tonight I'm going to talk about what do you have in your hands. Everywhere we go, we have to have something to give. Because you don't know when you're going to come across somebody that needs a miracle. You get around a lot of Christians today, and listen, most of them have nothing to give. They're dry, they're weary, they're tired, they're beat up. Life beats them up, church beats them up, preachers beat them up, their family beat them up. Hello? The only one that doesn't beat us up is God. You know, he's a good one to hang out with, I can tell you right now. He's a good one to hang out with. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when people can look at you and see there's something different about you, you know, the cable guy that pulled up there today, we were talking, he said, you know, when I pulled up here at your house, he said, I felt something different. He said, I felt it. He said, there's such a peace in this place. He said, normally I go to places and you know, I get to argue with people or they argue with me. And he said, there's such a peace in this place. He says, it's wonderful. Maybe that's why he wanted to come back and visit. I don't know. But he said, I felt something when I pulled up at your house. I felt something different. See, that's what I want people to feel. I want people to feel when they get around us, there's something different about us. Because why? There is something different about us. Hello. There is something different about us. We have an anointing. We have the joy of the Lord. We have the peace of God. And we have something to give. We have something to give others. Amen. Now, let's go here in Acts chapter 3. And verse 1 says, now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, whom they carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. See, there's an expectation that we should be living in continually, always expecting from our Heavenly Father. I never come to church without an expectation. I don't show up on a Sunday morning just going, okay, well, we're just going to go through the motions. We're just going to show up at church, go through the motions. No, I show up with an expectation. I'm expecting something from my Heavenly Father today. And I come in and I want to worship Him and I want to glorify His name and I want to exalt Him. But in the same breath, I have this expectation. I live with an expectation. I'm expecting God to do something every day, every moment of the day. I live with an expectation. Because when I'm expecting, then something is going to happen. If I live a life for God and I'm never expecting a miracle, I'll never expect the anointing, listen, it's never going to flow. And I'm never going to see the miracle. But as long as I'm living with that expectation, trusting God with every fiber of my being. This man looked on them expecting to receive something of them. I expect God to do something here tonight. I'm in expectation. Why? Because I'm hungry, because I'm thirsty, and because I'm desperate. I never ever want to get to the place where I can look at what God's done and go, you know what? Been there, done that, seen that. Oh, that joy stuff, my God, we've seen that so many times. Let me tell you what, when I see joy break out in people, I think to myself, what a miracle. What a miracle. And first of all, you don't know what those people are going through. They might have been through hell. They might still be in hell. And suddenly joy starts breaking out, and suddenly God starts giving them a miracle. Who are we to judge because we look on the outside of people, but God looks on the inside? And I've had people say, look, they'll ask me, do you still have joy in the meeting? I'll go, yeah. Don't you? I've had people say, well, no, we don't. We've moved on from the joy. I'm like, well, fantastic. God kept me in the joy, but you moved on. So then I always ask him, so what have you moved on to? They can't tell you. But they will tell you that they've moved on. And I'm like, I can see you've moved on. Because you have no more joy. Hello. Why would we want to move on from the joy? First of all, the joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's always good to have the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life. And you can't say, look, I've got joy. And you don't look like you actually have it. Hello. And then the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why would we want to move away from strength? And the Bible says laughter is like a medicine. Why would we want to move away from some medication? Hello? Well, praise God, brother. You know, we're just moving into the deeper things of God. Really? So there's deeper things of God. And so when you move into the deeper things of God, He takes away joy? Enough joy on the church. I'm going to take you deeper. But if you go deeper, you will have no joy. I just don't see God saying that. Hello. I just don't see God saying that. How much joy do you get out there in the world? You can't turn on television and get joy. Hello. Come on now. Because when you turn on the television, most of it is just a bunch of heathen. Hollywood doesn't give us joy. Hollywood don't even know what joy is. Hollywood have never met joy. The greatest comedian out there has no clue what joy is. Oh, they make you laugh a little bit, but they have no clue what joy is. So where are you going to go to get joy if you don't come to church? Come on now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. See, listen to this carefully. You can lose your joy like that. And a lot of people do. I don't. We don't. We just keep on pressing in. And you know, we have some difficult times, but we always come out the other side victorious. And we never lose our joy. Hello? I mean, sometimes it's a challenge, but we never lose it. It's a choice. It's a choice. Woe is me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go out in the garden and eat worms. Well, you're going by yourself. Nobody's coming with you. You're going to eat worms by yourself. Hello? I mean, if you invite people to a party, don't you want the party upbeat and up-tempo and everybody excited and bubbly and happy, huh? Yeah. Isn't it amazing how many people go out to Christmas parties now over this season and they think they have to have alcohol to get happy? Isn't that amazing? And we just come to church and have Holy Ghost wine. And it's free. It's on the house. We can drink as much as we want. Tomorrow we don't have a hangover. Amen. You Isn't it crazy how adverse Christians are to joy and drinking all the new wine of the Holy Spirit in church? But they'll head off to a party somewhere with their company and they'll go do some stuff they shouldn't do. Hello? Gee, I don't know where I'm going with this. Definitely wasn't in my notes. Oh, I don't have any notes. Sorry. You know, listen, we're either going to live a life for God or we're not. Why be lukewarm? Why be lukewarm? Being lukewarm will never bring a miracle in your life. Being lukewarm for God will never bring a breakthrough, and you'll never see the blessing of God on your family and your children. But being on fire for God, God takes care of everything. Because you serve God with every fiber of your being. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Are we done with that now, Lord? Are we finished with that? I'm just checking, making sure if I can go on now, you know. Did people get the point that the Holy Spirit wanted to make or not? If not, we carry on. If you did, then we'll stop. We'll move on. Amen. Suppose we'll move on. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something on. Now listen to this, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What is he talking about? He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What's he talking about? He's talking about the anointing of God. You know, we might stand in front of him and say, you know, silver and gold have I, but I'm going to give you something more valuable than silver and gold. I'm going to give you the anointing. That's going to destroy the yoke of bondage in your life and set you completely free. So that you don't have to be sitting at the gate begging, but you can be healed, be whole, and be free. And that's what they're talking about. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What are they doing? They were releasing the anointing that God had put on the inside of them. They were releasing that anointing that fell upon them on the day of Pentecost. They were releasing that anointing into him. And he was expecting to receive, and he did. He did. You see, as somebody comes in a line with an expectation of a touch of heaven, so when I'm praying for people, I'm also expecting from heaven, the anointing to flow through me to touch them. So yes, two people with their faith get together with their faith. And when you get people to get together with their faith on any one thing, there's no telling what God can do. And you know, you come across people that don't even know anything about faith. But that doesn't make it any less effective, because God sees the heart of people. You know, all you have to do is say, hey, is there something I can pray for you about? And that's what I did this afternoon, and guess what we did? We prayed. Hello? And I know that young man had an impact this afternoon. I know that for a fact. And I know when he goes home tonight and puts his head down on the pillow, he's going to be talking to God. I know that. Because I felt the anointing of God go into this man. And he felt it. And his face was wet. Tears. And when he walked out of there, we blessed him with the finances. He walked out. He said, you know, I was going to shake his hand. He's like, can I have a hug? He grabs me and my wife together and hugging us both. And I'm thinking, this is the first time I've ever had a cable guy give me a hug on the way out. Let alone give my wife a hug on the way out. Are you listening to me? Hello. But that's what the anointing of God does. You can have church in your house. You can have church wherever you go. Hello? You can pray for people anywhere. Anywhere. That anointing of God will flow anywhere. When you go on the streets and go win the lost, great, great opportunity. Great opportunity to see people get healed, to see them get delivered, to see them get set free. Great, great opportunity. Lead them to the Lord and say, now, is there something I can pray with you for? Boy, and you lay your hands on those people, let the anointing, have an expectation of the anointing flowing into them, and I'm telling you right now, they'll receive right on the street. They'll have a touch of heaven right on the street. You might have to hold them up. Hello? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible goes on to say, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Why? Because they had something in their hands to give. It's not theirs. The anointing that we carry is not ours. The anointing that we carry doesn't elevate us to another level. We're just the vessel. It's God's anointing. It's God's anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. God's anointing, not ours. We're just the carrier. We're just the vessel. And I can tell you right now, when you get a revelation of that, it takes a lot of pressure off you. Because you realize, hey, I'm not the healer. Or I can't do anything for you, but I know somebody that can. I just do what the Bible tells me to do. And the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so we just lay hands on the sick. And we thank God for those instant miracles. But we also thank God for the anointing that goes in. And there comes a recovery. Are you listening to me? Why God does instant miracles and then sometimes recovery, I have no clue. I just want instant miracles. That's all I'm interested in. But sometimes it doesn't always happen that way. But sometimes there's a lesson that we are learning through that. Are you listening to me? I remember one year my daughter got attacked by the enemy. She had a terrible pain in her head. And, you know, we took her to the doctors because we prayed. We prayed over and over and we didn't see a miracle. And, you know, we've always been this way. We first pray for our kids. If we don't see results, then we need to take them to a doctor. That's the way we've operated. Are you listening to me? So we took my daughter to a doctor, and the doctor checked her out and said, we can't find anything wrong with her. So then the doctor pulls my wife and I over into a side office and says, well, maybe she's just doing this for attention. Look, I want to come over that desk and show the doctor some attention myself. Are you listening to me? I mean, my kids are homeschooled. They're at home all the time. They're with us all the time. They travel on the road with us all the time. We fly, we drive. We're always together in hotels all over. I mean, attention, really? But he had no way of explaining what was going on, so he thought he'd just pick on us, you know. And while he's busy giving us this little speech, you know, I got up and went back into the room there. I felt I needed to go do that, and I saw my daughter. She's in pain, so I called the doctor. I said, come over here. Is that attention? So he goes in there and gets another doctor in there, and they look at her, and they still have no clue. And so we take her back home, and she wasn't in the pain all the time, but it was pain would come and go. Well, about a day later, I was in my office, and she walked in and said, Daddy, I've got this terrible pain. I can't take it anymore, you know. So I took her, and I held her like this to me, and I started praying. And as I started praying, something happened in her. And she looked up and went, wow, the pain is gone. And I said, okay, I understand exactly what's going on. And I went to my wife and said, I know exactly how we should pray. So we called the elders and the leaders of our church together. And I got my dad and mom on the phone. They were down in Tampa. We were in St. Louis. And we had a Holy Ghost hoedown. But we took authority over that thing that night. And let me tell you what, we bust that thing in the head. And my daughter that night got totally set free by the power of Almighty God. I found this out from other people. They said this They said, other people that have moved to St. Louis to start a church, pastors that have come in and pioneered a church and started the church, their family was always attacked to a point where some of those people that came to start churches actually left the city and went away. But we didn't. So that night, my dad even said, he said, it's like I was listening to, you know, the day of Pentecost. He said, the fire of God's falling on us in the house in Tampa. And he said, it's like I'm listening to the day of Pentecost. I mean, it was great. Listen, my daughter, the fire of God hit my daughter. She couldn't even open her hands. I said, honey, jump up and go lay hands on the pastors that are here. She laying hands on everybody, power of God falling all on them. She come over, lay hands on my wife and I and said, God, I pray. And she's, how old was she? 8 or 9 years old. She's like laying hands on Anne and myself going, Father, I pray that this fire that's on me come on my mama and daddy. I'm telling you, it was a great time. Now, 24 hours later, I'm sitting in the living room. My daughter comes and gets in my lap and she said, Dad, that pain is back. And I said to her, you know what you have to do? You have to go back into your room. I said, last night we had a victory. I said, you have to go back into your room and you have to stand on the word. I can't do it for you anymore. You have to stand on the word and you have to command this thing to go. And I'm telling you right now, when you do, it'll go and it'll never come back. And she said, okay. She went to her room, closed the door. 15 minutes later, she came out. She said, whew. She said, pain's all gone. Let me tell her what, she never experienced it ever again. Never again. Never again. Whew. I felt that. My God, I felt that. You know, when your kids are going through things, you know, there's things that we as parents, I mean, we'll just press in a whole lot harder. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. And every one of us in the house here tonight, you're anointed. And if you're not, then you get your blessed assurance down in line tonight and you'll receive a download from heaven. Become a carrier of the glory, become a carrier of the presence, and become a carrier of the power of God. You know, I grew up in a church where, you know, the pastors were expected to do visitation. That's what it was. I mean, in the early days when we were kids, you know, pastors would go around and visit everybody. Now today, those things don't happen. But because the church is all a whole lot larger than what they were back then. But I remember every week my mom would bake a cake, a chocolate cake. I love chocolate cake. But it's so good for you, right? It's very healthy, right? Now, so my mom would bake these chocolate cakes. And then the pastor would come over and have cake and tea and fellowship with the family. And then he'd go off. And, you know, I remember one day walking into the kitchen and there was a chocolate cake on the counter. And I said, Mom, can I have a piece of this cake? And she said, no, that's for the pastor. The pastor. So when she turned her back and looked the other way, I took my finger and wiped it down the side of the cake. Got a big wad of chocolate icing and walked out the door and ate the icing. I don't know what, then I was only about probably 6 years old. I don't know, maybe 5 years old. I don't know what the pastor thought when he looked at his cake and saw a little finger stripe down the side. Now, if my mama had seen that, she would have given me a whooping. I can guarantee you that. There would have been much wailing and gnashing of teeth. Are you listening? And yeah, we did have some whooping. But that's why I'm standing here where I'm standing today, because of those whoopings. Hello. People say, oh, you were abused. Yeah, look at how abused I was. Look at me. And I used to think the ministry was, that's what I wanted to be, a pastor. I did. Because they travel around to people in the week and they eat chocolate cake and drink tea and then preach. And then chocolate cake and I could do that. Praise Jesus. Now, let me tell you what. We have pastored, and it ain't like that. I can tell you right now, it just ain't like that. Chocolate cakes are very far and few between. Hello. But we've got to have something to give. What have we got to give? What are we going to give others? And let me say this. It starts right here. It starts right here. I cannot look at people in the congregation and blame people for the spiritual walk that they have because they go to a dead church and they get cold slop on a Sunday morning. Hello? And they never grow spiritually. They're never pressed to do something greater for God. Their faith is never challenged. And then you look at the church and they look sad and weary and beat up. Why? Because they're never being challenged. They're never being pushed to the ultimate. Hello? Let me tell you what. I don't, and I never do this, I don't want to preach a message that keeps you in your comfort zone. I want to preach a message that stirs you up, that gets you going for the things of God, that gets you hungry, gets you thirsty, gets you pressing in for more of Him. Because I know that when you do that, that's where the miracle comes. That's where the anointing of God is. That's where your breakthrough comes. The breakthrough doesn't come by sitting in the boat. It comes by getting out and walking on the water, trusting God with every fiber of your being. Amen. And understand something. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. What if I lay hands on somebody tonight that needs a miracle in their body and they don't get healed? Next. Why? Because I'm not the healer. I'm just going to do what God's Word says. That's all I'm going to do. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And sometimes people put the pressure on the minister to perform. We don't have an organ. Well, we have an organ, yeah, but it's not one of those that you crank and then a little monkey bounces up and down in front of it. Are you listening to me? Hello? I had a guy stop me in a meeting one night. I was on the way in to go preach, and he stopped me. He said, God said, you got a word for me. You know, when people say that, I just look at them and go, okay. I don't try to get one. Oh, you listen to me. I don't try to go, hold on. What's the word? God, oh God, give me a word, please, Jesus. I've got to give. You said I got a word for him. What's the word? I go, okay, hey, you know what? When God gives me the word, I'll give it to you. So walking out of that meeting that night, guess who's standing right in the middle aisle? And he's like this. You know, like, I can't get through past this guy. So I took my Bible and my notes, I put it down on the chair. I went up to him, he's standing there. I said, you know what? You're right. God has got a word for you. It's have a drink. I said, hang on. I think I'm getting another word. Hang on. It's have another drink. I laid hands on him. Power God, knock him on the floor. I picked up my stuff. I stepped over him and walked out the building. That was the word. Hello. I mean, look, if God gives me a word for you, I'll give it to you. I probably have already. Didn't even know about it. Because I didn't start with it by saying, yay, hitherto have not said yay, but yay. I think he's giving a word. Now, so look, we're not under any pressure. I've listened to some words that people give, and I go, my God. I've listened to men saying, tonight, you come back to the meeting tonight, I'm going to give everybody a word. It's like, wow, everybody? What if I bring the cable guy with me? You got a word for the cable guy? And then he stands in front of a woman and goes, yea, the Lord would say, thou art a mighty woman of God. Well, okay. I know she's born again. I can see she's a woman. Really? That's the word? I mean, I can line up 10 women and go, mighty woman of God, mighty woman of God, mighty woman of God, mighty woman of God. There's the word. Listen, we're not making it out to be something that it's not. We're not making out what God's doing to be something that it's not. It is. It is. And the bottom line is this: God's doing it Himself. And He doesn't need your help. He just needs your obedience. I remember back in the 90s, and we were in a church. And I got up to take the pulpit. And listen, the power of God was all over the house. I'm talking about people were so drunk in the Holy Ghost that, I mean, I don't even know why I took the podium, because nobody was even paying attention. I mean, the glory of God was all, people were on the floor drunk in the Holy Ghost, falling out of the pews. I got up to the pulpit and took the microphone, and the pastor of the church stepped up, took the microphone from me, and he said this. He said, Basil, what has God done for you? Now, you see, that's what we used to do back in the 90s, 93. My brother would say, hey, Basil, come up here, tell the people what God's done for you. And then, of course, you know, I couldn't speak. And, you know, we were. And that was about my testimony. Hello. And a lot of people broke through. And they, you know, God used that stuff. I mean, sometimes I wonder why, but He did. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. So I was just probably foolish in 93 for God. That's what it was. But so he stepped up and he tried to mimic this whole thing. And you know what? When he did that, I mean, I'm talking about immediately, it's like the whole church sobered up. It shocked me. I mean, I took the microphone from him and immediately I began to repent. It's like the anointing was just out of the building like this, and everybody kind of sat up in their seat like, hey, what happened, you know? It freaked me out. It freaked me out. And I repented. I said, God, please forgive me. Holy Spirit, please forgive us if we have grieved you in any way. That is not what we're going to do. That's not what we will ever do. Please forgive us. And when I said that, I felt the anointing come back, surge back into the meeting. Now, it wasn't like it was, but it was there, and we had a great meeting, and God moved. And after the meeting, I went and said to the pastor, I said, why did you do that? He goes, well, I was just helping God. I looked at him and said, God doesn't need your help. Amen. He doesn't need your help. I said, what more did you want the people to do? Swing from the chandeliers? Run so fast and put a hole in the wall? I mean, what did you want the people to do? They were already out of it. God was already moving in a powerful way, and you stepped up, and the moment you did, everything just died. See, listen to me carefully. There's no place for our flesh and the move of God mixed together. They don't go together. That's why we say, God, whatever you want to do in the meeting, Holy Spirit, you welcome to come and do whatever you want to do. It's not what I want to do. Hello. It's what He wants to do. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's what God wants to do through you. First of all, what He wants to do in you, and then what He wants to do through you. All we become is a vessel or a container and a carrier of the anointing. And when we are that, then we have something in our hands. And we give it away. We give it away. We give that anointing away. That's all we do when we show up in the meeting. We just give what God's given us. We give it away. I can't give you what I don't have. That's why I keep going back to, you know, I've studied revival over the years. And the people that are still involved and are pressing into the things of God with revival, listen, are people that were touched by the fire. There's something about the fire of God. I've seen people come in and they get drunk in the Holy Ghost and they fall on the floor and they roll around and they get full of joy, but they never get the fire. And some of those folks will be like that for a month or two or three or maybe a year, and then they'll start fading away. But I can tell you right now, the ones that got hit by the fire of God, there's just no way. There's just no way. There is just no way. I told that cable guy today, I said, when you experience and have an encounter with God, you'll never ever look anywhere else. There's nowhere else you can ever be satisfied, and you won't want to look anywhere else. Where do we go to get joy? Right here in church. Where do we go to get healed? Right here in church. I don't need to stand in front of somebody and have a communication and a big discussion with a demon. Come out in the name of Jesus. That's it. We're done. Discussion over. Hello. Don't need to know your name and don't need to know how long you've been there. Don't need to spend 3 hours hanging out with you. Hello. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So when I decree and declare the name of Jesus, all heaven stands to attention. Because there's power that's been invested in the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus has been given to us as believers to use. Why do you think people use the name of Jesus and blaspheme? Why do you think they do that? You never hear anybody, you know, knocking a nail in and they hit their finger and they go, Hare Krishna, that was, oh my. Muhammad! Because you know why? They're all dead. But they use the name of Jesus and blaspheme the name of Jesus because he's the only one that's alive. Hello.
Hallelujah.
Our Jesus, our Jesus, our Savior, he's alive.
Hallelujah.
Living on the inside of us. Any other religion out there, if Jesus ain't involved, it's false. Hallelujah. And I don't care what other people think. They can think whatever they want to. Because at the one, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not accountable to people. I'm accountable to Jesus. I have to give an account to Jesus. I have to tell my Lord and Savior what I did with what he gave me down here on this earth. And if I run around compromising and, you know, trying to please everybody, then I'm not pleasing him. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that one day.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. It takes a hunger, it takes a thirst. It takes a desperation. You have to forget about the day. You can't come in carrying the day and then want God to do something. Just forget about the day. Say, Lord, this is between you and me. This is you and me tonight. I have to have a download from heaven. I have to have a touch of God. I have to have a life-changing experience. And I'm placing a demand upon the anointing. I have an expectation of the touch of heaven. God's not a respecter of persons. And listen, if God could keep us in his glory 24/7, he would. But sometimes it's very hard to keep people in the glory for 3 hours. Hello? Well, I think the meeting's going on a little longer, brother, brother Jesus. Is your watch working? Shouldn't we end this meeting? What are you going to do if God sticks you on the floor tonight and you can't get up? Like you're stuck on the carpet and you can't get up. And maybe you're there for 4 hours, 5 hours. Maybe you wake up at 3 a.m. going, oh my God. Place is in semi-darkness. There's a note right next door to you. Just lock the door when you leave. Don't think God won't do it either. He's done it to me, and if he does it to me, he'll do it to you too. Hello? But I go back to those times and tell you what, my life was changed in those times by the power of God. And I thank God for it. And I mean, I could never do. We could never listen. We could sit 1,000 hours in a meeting and listen to teaching and listen to teaching and go to Bible schools and do all the stuff. But it take God 2-3 hours on the floor, and your whole life has changed. What's in your hands? I never ask what's in your wallet. I ask what's in your hands. What do you have to give? These hands that you have are carriers of the anointing.
Yes.
You do what Jesus did. You minister by the laying on of hands. And you have something to give. And when you give that away, lives are changed and touched by the power of God. And then comes an increase. God gives you an increase.
Yes, he does.
People say, I want a double portion of the anointing. What are you doing with what you have? If you're not doing anything with what you've got, then why should God give you more? So you can do more of nothing? Let me close with this. God's raising up an army. We are the army. We are the army that God's raising up. And there are no lesser people in the army. It's just people that will believe God with every fiber of their being and carry whatever God has for them and do whatever God tells them to do and go wherever God tells them to go and be whatever God wants them to be. We've traveled the nation. We've seen many, many, many ministers over the years. And let me tell you what, I don't want to be what they are. I want to be just what God wants me to be. I don't look at anybody else's ministry and want what they've got. I only want what God wants for me. Because if I start to look at other people's ministry and I want what they've got, then I start to focus and try to be more like them, and I'm not being more like Jesus. So I just want whatever God wants. Whatever God has for us, that's what he's got for us. And I'm happy with that. Amen. And I'm pressing in for more of what he has for us. Every one of you, God has an anointing on to do something in the body of Christ. And some are going to do something, and some are going to do others, and some are going to go shake a whole city for Jesus. Some are going to go shake a whole country for Jesus. Oh, you listen to me. Something's going to happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I've said this over and over and over. If God send a revival through somebody that's been in our meetings, and they go to a city and a revival breaks out, listen, it doesn't even need to come through me as long as it comes. As long as God starts doing something down here on this earth, I'm okay with that. Because we've got to see revival. We've got to see God come and shake this America that we're living in. We have another opportunity at this. Let me tell you what. It's time, folks, that we press in like never before. Time to press in like never before. We have an opportunity. And as evil as the world is, I don't believe that opportunity will be there till Jesus comes. So now's the time to hit it as hard as we can. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your power that's in the house, Lord. Thank you that lives will never be the same. Jesus. Jesus, I feel the presence of God. Yeah, I feel the God's glory and his anointing. There are deeper depths, there are higher heights that God wants to take you into. There's things that God wants to reveal to you by the Spirit, by his Spirit. There's things that he wants to teach you and show you. All you have to do is become hungry and become desperate and say, God, whatever it takes, whatever you need to do, Lord, do in my life. I surrender all to you. I lay it all on the altar. God, if there's anything in my heart that you did not put there, I'm asking you to take it away. Set me free. Don't hold on to the past. Don't hold on to the hurts. Don't hold a grudge against somebody. Forgive them. Bless them. Bless them. Move on with the things of God. Move into deeper things with God. Because he has so much more for you. He has so much more for you. America will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. The church will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. We will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. Because we are not going to rest, and we're not going to backtrack until we see the glory of God be made manifest in our midst. There's coming another wave of the glory. There's coming another move of the Spirit of God. Once again, God's going to breathe upon the church. And I can tell you right now, this time around, we need to embrace whatever God is doing like we've never embraced before. I thank God for what he did in the 90s. And we might be in a little bit of a lull right now. We might be, as we call it, between the waves of the glory. And even between the waves of the glory, there's still the glory of God. The only difference is the head count. But let me tell you what, when the next wave comes, this place will be too small. And it's coming. I'm telling you right now, it's coming. It's coming. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't see a move of God come this 2017, that we don't see a great move of God, a great wind of the Spirit blow across this nation, a great wind of the Spirit blow through the church. A transformation of the church take place. God raise up millions of Americans and sends them all over the world. I'm telling you right now, America is going to invade the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they do, whole nations will be shaken by the power of Almighty God. The devil is trying to invade the world with a false doctrine. The devil is trying to invade America with a false doctrine. But I can tell you right now, I believe God's drawn the line in the sand and said, no more, no more, no more. And I believe God did that because we, as believers, cried out to God that God would come and shake this nation. God would come and save this nation. That's why we have who we have going into the White House. Oh, glory to Jesus. And there are people that don't like it and they're not happy. But so what? I don't care. God put him in there and man will not be able to take him out. And I believe it's all in preparation. I believe what this man's going to do is he's going to cause the fear that the church have been operating in for all of these years. He's going to remove that fear away from the church. We should be the ones, the believers, the salt of the earth, the ones that are walking with the anointing and the glory of God. We should be the ones that are setting the pace in the world. We should be the ones that are advising the kings and the priests. We should be the ones that are advising the presidents. The believer, the born-again child of God, the one that's full of the Holy Ghost, that has a connection, direct connection to heaven. But I can tell you right now, the church has been sleeping in la-la land somewhere. I've heard Christians say, well, we shouldn't be involved in politics. Of course we should be. We should be right in the middle of politics. We should be politics. Because by the anointing, we'll set things in place. By the Spirit of God, we'll set things in place. That'll bring such a foundation to America and to the world. There's a whole shaking going on, I'm telling you right now. We've seen a whole shaking. And it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. Let's not stick our head in the sand, but let's rise up full of the Holy Ghost. Let's rise up with the Word of God. Let's begin to decree and declare. The world decree and declare their sin. Let us decree and declare the Word. Let us decree and declare the Word of God. God has a Word for this nation. Has an anointing that he would let go in the church, and the church would carry this. And I can tell you right now, God wants to do that, so he wants to do that, so he's just waiting on us. Will you go? Will you go? Will you be the vessel? Will you be the carrier? Will you let God put something in your hand so you can go ahead and give this out? We've gone some places for God in the nation. We've been to places that we never thought we'd ever go. But we made a decision one day. And we made a commitment. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And when we said that to God, we meant it. And let me tell you what, he sent us all over the place. It's not about the comfort zone. It's not about, you know, I'm just comfortable, yeah, Lord. God's blessed us with beautiful homes, and we've given those homes up to go to the next place, to go preach the gospel, to do whatever God wants to do. That's why the Lord's carried us where he's carried us. And that's why the Lord's going to carry you where he's going to carry you. Do you know how much Africa needs revival and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do you know what people can do if they took this glory into Africa and just shake the whole Africa, the continent of Africa? Can you imagine? I mean, there's nations all over the world that need a touch of heaven. They've been deceived to by the devil. Who's going to go? Who's going to take that? I know we're doing what God's called us to do. He said, go to America, carry the fire across America, go and ignite fire in churches. That's what we do. We just go to different churches and ignite a fire and find the hungry, find the thirsty, and let the fire of God fall. But it's going to take those that get ignited to pick up whatever else God wants to do. Surgery here. Great time to be alive. We're having fun in church. And there's so much more. There's so much more that God wants to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Different night tonight. Amen. But that's what I love about revival. You can never come and predict what God's going to do. Amen. Because He does what He wants to do, not what we want to do. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Before I lay hands on anybody this evening, those that want prayer, I just want to give an invitation this evening. Maybe you've come into this place. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. You need to give your heart to Jesus for the very first time. I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. Maybe you have given your heart to the Lord, but you're not serving Him like you should be. You need to rededicate your life and make a fresh start. This is your divine appointment with God Almighty. Maybe you've come into this place tonight and you have given your heart to the Lord, but the devil keeps lying to you, telling you you're not saved. You need to make sure of your salvation. I want to include you in this prayer. Listen to me real carefully. You might never have another opportunity. Life is very fragile. We don't know when the end is. We have no clue. So we have to be ready. God's tugging at your heart right now on any one of those three invitations. You need to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Make sure of your salvation. Rededicate your life and make a fresh start. I want to pray with you and for you. I want you just to slip your hand up quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Quickly. Right across this building. Thank you. Once you've raised your hand, you can take it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I know God's tugging at the hearts of people. I feel that in my heart. I feel that in my spirit. This is probably the most important decision you make of your life. Because now we're talking about eternity. Not something that's going to affect you over the next couple of days. I'm talking about something that's going to affect you for eternity. So while you're on this earth, and then when you go to see Jesus. You need to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, rededicate your life, or make sure you have not raised your hand yet. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Right across this building, just quickly slip your hand up quickly. You haven't raised your hand yet, quickly. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Here's what I want to do. I want everybody to look at me quickly. Everybody look at me. I want everybody that raised your hand, I want you to stand up where you are quickly. Right where in your seat, stand up where you are quickly. You raised your hand, stand. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your seats. Come and stand down here in the front with me. I'm going to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Come. Come right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Now, let me do this. Let me say this. If you didn't raise your hand, it's okay. We've still got a little time. Amen. If you feel like you need to come, come. Don't worry about what people are going to think. Because listen, you're going to have to give an account to Jesus one day, and there'll be nobody standing with you helping you. You're going to have to do it yourself. So if you feel any one of those categories, you fit into it, come. Come right now. We'll wait a moment longer. Jesus loves you just the way you are. That's what's so wonderful about coming to Him. We don't have to get ourselves sorted out. We just come as we are. And He takes care of the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want those down front, I want you to look at me quickly. Yes, what we're going to do, we're going to pray a prayer with you and for you. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I'm going to have everybody in the congregation pray that prayer with you. Amen. So raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Close your eyes and congregation, stretch your hands out towards these folks and let's pray together. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Change me, Lord. Let me never be the same again. I thank you, Lord, from this moment on, that you are my Father. And I am your child. And when you come back for me, Lord Jesus, I'll be ready and waiting. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for making me whole, for setting me completely free. Use me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just lift both hands to heaven and just thank Him. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me say this to those that are down front here. God has a plan and God has a purpose for every one of you. And it's not by mistake or by chance that you're here tonight. And I'm going to pray for every one of you now and we're going to take you back to your room. But let me say this, this is the beginning of the rest of your life. And whatever you do, do not allow the devil to come and rob and steal and take away what Jesus has done for you tonight. Amen. This is a new night. If the devil ever comes along and says you're not saved, just tell him I was there when it happened. Amen. I got proof. I was there when it happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you right now for every one of these new believers, every one of these that rededicated their life. Lord, let a fresh fire and let a fresh anointing, there it is, fall upon them, Jesus. That they would never be the same. They would never be the same. They would never be the same, Lord. That's it there, right into you. That's about our God. Lord, I pray they have an encounter with you tonight. Jesus' mighty name right now. Oh yeah, let that joy bubble out your belly. Let the joy bubble out your belly. It'll sound like this ha ha ha. Then it'll sound like this ho ho ho. Trust me, I do this for a living. I know what I'm talking about. Then it'll sound like this he he he. Just try it. The worst thing you can get is happy. You got something to rejoice about. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah, Lord. Get them all drunk. Get them filled. Get them all saturated. In the name of Jesus, right now. There it is. There it is. There it is. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A touch of heaven. A touch of heaven, Lord. A touch of heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel the glory. I feel His presence. I feel His power. You'll never be the same. 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 Jesus' mighty name. That's it there, right into you. It's the power of God going right into you. It's God's anointing. Some of you just need to let the joy bubble out your belly. Just let the joy bubble out your belly. Just let the joy bubble out your belly. Jesus' mighty name. Touch this young man, Lord. Raise him up to be a voice to his generation, Lord. Raise him up to be a voice to his generation, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' mighty name. There it is. Thank you, Lord. I love it when young people come in the meeting and get touched by the power of God. Because, you know, I look at this. He's going to touch a generation that we might never touch. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we're going to take you guys back with this gentleman over here. The rest of them, when they get off the floor, we can drag them back. Just go back with him. Wave your hand, sir. Let's give them a welcome to the family as they go. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing in everything we said tonight? We spoke about giving, sowing seed, being blessed. You know, the message was kind of in your face a little, especially the last little bit that I got into. And here's the altar. What do we have? Yeah, 9 people come and get down, get saved, get healed, get delivered, get set free. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we underestimate what God can do. But if it's God, He's going to do it. And then at the same time, He's going to set people free. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray for everybody. Who wants prayer this evening? Anybody? 3 of you. I'm just kidding. All right. Why don't you do this? Why don't you come on out? Let's make the lines across the front and get ready. Get ready to receive. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall.
Hallelujah.
Me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hear the Spirit's call.
Lift your hands to heaven. Get ready to receive.
Touch us one and all.
Father, I thank you right now.
Let the fire fall.
Thank God.
Thank you for hungry pastors, Lord. Thank you for desperate pastors that would allow the move of God to come. Lord, I thank you for the touch of heaven upon them, upon their family, upon their loved ones.
Yes, yes.
With a fresh fire, Lord God, and a fresh anointing.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name. In the name.
Thank you, Lord, that they are made whole. They are made whole.
Yes.
They are made whole.
Yes.
In
yes.
the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Healing power of Jesus. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow.
God, thank God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.